Hey there, and welcome to the Mom Tana Podcast, your wild corner of the internet where I chat about birth, motherhood, and life in the mountains of Western Montana. I'm Chaya, your fellow Mom Tanan, and guide on this journey through the highs and lows of early parenthood within Big Sky Country. Each Tuesday, I'll cover pregnancy hacks, birth tips, herbalism in motherhood, and more. So grab your favorite hat and your favorite horse, and let's get into the beauty and chaos of Mom Tana living. It has come to my attention that because of the over-management of placenta birth in both home birth and hospital settings, that not many people know how to do anything with the placenta. What is all of that when it comes to home birth? So, I have this episode for you on how to birth your placenta and what to do with it. So, first, the how-to. Have as physiological a birth as possible. There are other areas where I can share or you can learn about physiological birth, and so I won't get into that today, but this is step one. Have as physiological a birth as possible. This will help support an easy physiological placenta birth as well. Step two, avoid being disrupted and allow yourself to be lost in birthy baby bliss. So allow the buildup of oxytocin, prolactin, estrogen, and just be lost in that baby that you just birthed. Just smell and cuddle and listen and kiss and just be totally enveloped in this new baby. And let the rest of the world melt away and stay melted away, and let everybody else know before your birth that you will need them to step back and be quiet and not disrupt this time. So as the placental blood volume decreases, the placenta size will shrink. Mom will become more aware of the baby's sounds and movements, and all of those things will trigger a hormonal response and further clamping down of the uterus. So as mom is just lost in baby bliss, this will signal a hormonal response, a hormonal reaction, and that will also clamp down on the uterus some more. The placenta will then peel away from the uterine wall, usually within 30 minutes, but not always. The weight of the placenta sitting on the cervix is usually the cue to squat and push it out with some effort. So sometimes gently guiding or lifting, not tugging or pulling with the umbilical cord is helpful. But otherwise, just sort of getting upright and squatting to push it out is enough. It should not be painful, but it might be a bit uncomfortable, depending on the placenta size and all of that. It can be a little uncomfortable, but it shouldn't be painful. If it's painful, it might not be ready to come, or there might be something else going on that needs to be checked out. Definitely do not pull the placenta out. So I want to emphasize again, when you feel a sort of like a plop, like a weight, kind of like something's just like sitting, like just there, and you almost can't even dictate, you know, where is there, but just you feel something sitting there, kind of at the bottom of your uterus, that's often the placenta just ready. It's dropped off and it's just ready for you to sort of smush, push it out. So that's how you birth the placenta. And there it is. So if you've got your midwife with you, or you have checked out, you know, what a whole placenta looks like, you can determine whether the placenta is whole. This is an important piece, and I'm not going to dive into this too much, but checking to make sure that the placenta is all in one piece is a very, very good idea. It's an important note. So that's why I'm mentioning it. And once it's done, it's done. You are freedom-loving, nature-trusting, and spiritually grounded, and you're looking for a skilled birth attendant who shares your values. With today's politics making birth overly medicalized and invasively regulated, finding the support you want feels out of reach. I offer holistic birth services tailored to your unique needs and family journey. By becoming a member and choosing a support level, you can curate your own experience without the fight or controlling oversight. Just go to momtana.org or check out the show notes for details. So there's lots of things you can do with the placenta after this point. And one of the things that you can do, this is more to do with how to sever the umbilical cord once the baby's done with the placenta, basically once the cord has gone limp and white, meaning that all the blood has drained from the placenta. Once the baby's done using it, you can, instead of just cutting it, which you can totally do, you can burn the cord. So this is what I did for 2 or 3 of my babies. One of my babies has snapped, which is a whole other story. But so we burned the cord. We used a long candle, so long candlestick, and you'll want a bowl or something to drape the cord across. You'll also want a bowl to put the placenta in general anyway. But you'll want something that you can sort of drape the cord across for the cord burning. Holding it is not going to be, your arms are going to get tired. It's a little iffy because of, you know, fire and all of that. But it does take a long time when you're doing this. So it's best to have a bowl or something to drape the cord across, or a heat, flame, and shield. Heat and flame shield. If you're burning the cord closer to the baby, or, you know, whatever it is that you're burning around, obviously general fire safety is important. So know that it's going to take a little while, but it can be really beautiful and ceremonious, and it's a good opportunity to either listen to music or sing a song or something like that. It's a good reflective time. And I think it's really special and ceremonial. Another thing you can do with the placenta is prepare the placenta for a lotus birth. So when the baby's done with the placenta, and this is you're not severing the umbilical cord. You're leaving it attached to the placenta and baby. So the placenta's staying attached to baby. When the baby's done with the placenta, you rinse it and you pat it dry. And Anne Frye says, quote, "Salt draws fluid to the surface and tends to make the placenta sticky and messy. Herbs work much better for this purpose," end quote. In the past, I've said that you use lots of salt for a lotus birth, but I have not personally done a lotus birth, so I wasn't speaking from my own experiences. And when I read that from Anne Frye, I definitely wanted to make sure to correct myself publicly, that apparently salt is not the best choice. I know I've said it in past podcast episodes even, I think. So herbs apparently work much better for this purpose, according to Anne Frye. So thoroughly coat the placenta in the herbs of your choosing. So preferably antiseptic herbs, but there's lots of different combinations that can be meaningful to people for different reasons. So choose your herbs and then coat the placenta in the herbs. Anne Frye suggests powdered rosemary or turmeric. And then simply place the placenta back in the bowl or bag or container, whatever you've prepared to carry the placenta until the umbilical cord naturally falls off of the baby's umbilicus, which is the belly button. And that's a lotus birth, when you basically just leave the placenta attached and you prepare the placenta in a certain way and everything dries up and falls off in its own time. The next thing you can do, or a different thing that you can do, is bury the placenta. You can bury the placenta. That's what I've done with all of our placentas. That also can be a ceremony. You can say it with a prayer of thanks, gratitude. There's lots of ways that you can sort of honor the burial. And that's kind of my favorite way to sort of recognize the placenta and its job and the provision that it brought to you and your baby and its function and all of that, and honoring God for this brilliant, you know, creation that does the job that it does. So that's another thing you can do with your placenta. Something else that people do with their placentas is they eat them, which might sound weird, or you might be familiar with that idea. I have not done this. The kosher perspective is that it is a human organ, but always with kosher things, talk to your rabbi about what is appropriate. So if this is something you are comfortable with, you can eat the placenta. What you need to do is rinse it. Someone needs to cut off all the non-meaty parts. So cut off the amniotic sac, cut the umbilical cord, you know, part out. You're sort of processing it as though it's a hunk of meat, because in many ways it kind of is. So you just need to cut off all those non sort of meaty parts and then cut it up into whatever way you're planning on eating it. So people do placenta smoothies, they dehydrate them and then encapsulate them. There's lots of different things you can do in this realm. So just look into that if that sounds interesting. But that's something else you can do with your placenta. And the final thing that I've heard of that you can do with your placenta is make it into a keepsake. So there's different ways to do that as well. I've seen people do placenta prints with these, which is where they sort of, once it's not totally dried out, but it's, you know, it's rinsed off and it's a little padded dry, and people will either paint it on the tree of life side, so with all the veins and the cord and things like that. They'll put paint on it and then print it, press it onto a paper, make different art work with it, things like that. And there's also keepsake jewelry. So there are people that will take pieces, dried pieces of different things. It doesn't have to be placenta. It can be umbilical cord and things like that. But they'll take dried pieces and make it into jewelry. In lots of different ways. So there's not just one way to do that, but that's another option. And that's something that lots of people like to do. And so I wanted to mention it here. And so it's really rather simple how to birth your placenta and what to do with it, but it's just something that's not really talked about often. And it's not, there's not a whole lot of experience around it, and it's definitely not mainstream. So it's something that I thought you guys might feel was valuable and helpful. And so I hope that it was. And again, references to Anne Frye, you'll find that in the show notes. And there you have it. I'll see you next week. Thanks for joining me here. Remember to subscribe, write a review, and check out the show notes for other ways to connect. Nothing on this podcast is medical or legal advice. By engaging with this content, you agree to take full responsibility for your own experiences. Everything in this podcast is property of Prudence Ministries, a private healing association.